Tired of being in the dark about your investment? How does your portfolio's performance really measure up? Is your investment plan on or off track? Get the answer at PortfolioReportCard.com. Ron DeLegge's grading system of A, B, C, D, or F will tell you if your 401k plan, IRA, or other investment account passes or fails. But that's not all. If your portfolio gets an A, Ron will pay you $100. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com and find out if you pass or fail.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge.
All right, coming up on today's show, long-term investing. Has the benefits of long-term investing been overstated? I'm going to assassinate some sacred cows on today's show, so be ready for that. Also coming up, I'll be doing a portfolio report card for MD in Temecula, California. Now, let me set this up. He's 61 years old. He self-manages a $496,000 retirement account. Now, it's divided between a traditional IRA and a Roth IRA. An MD went to PortfolioReportCard.com and he requested a full analysis and a grade on his portfolio. Does he get an A or does he get an F? Does he pass or does he flunk? We're going to dial down to all of the intimate details of MD's portfolio on today's show. And I'm going to give him a final report card of A, B, C, D, or F. Now remember, if he gets an A, I whip out my wallet and I pay him $100. So stay tuned for that. Also coming up, we're going to give you a quick recap of what's going on in financial markets around the globe so that you can look, see, and compare the performance of your own portfolio versus some of these major benchmarks. If you'd like to join us to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, exchange-traded fund, or investment theme, 877-711-5611. Is the number. Give us your first name along with your city and we will get to you. You can also tweet the program live at Index Show is my Twitter handle. You can follow us there. So let's take a quick look here and see what's going on in the U.S. stock market. S&P 500 snapping a seven-week winning streak, suffering its biggest pullback since May of 2012. Now, much of the blame continues to be on the sell-off in oil. I probably think that it's more related to profit-taking. Certainly, I mean, this has been the dominant story, though, is the fall in the prices of crude oil. Crude oil falling around 12% to now around $57 a barrel. So this has been a very bad thing for some of these countries like Russia and Venezuela and Brazil that are very much, this is an integral part of their economy, their commodities-based economies, and that's why you see the Russian stock market getting absolutely slaughtered. And boy, has it been a great time to be a bear on Russian stocks. Now, one of the ETFs, this has been one of the best performers over the past several months, and actually pretty much all year long, but really as of late, the most recent few months, this particular ETF has just skyrocketed. Now, this is ticker symbol RUSS, which has gained 211% over the past 3 months. My goodness. Now, RUSS is the Direction Daily Russia Bear 3X ETF. So what this ETF attempts to do is increase in value when Russian stocks fall. And it doesn't just try to increase in value when Russian stocks fall, but it does it also with leverage, triple daily leverage. So if in any given day Russian stocks are down 1%, RUSS should be up around 3%. And Russian stocks down, what are they down? About 30%, 30, 35% since the beginning of the year, just getting absolutely crushed. And this has been a great trade for those of you that have been short Russian stocks, ticker symbol RUSS. The worst may not yet be over. We'll take a look at some of the other key asset classes like U.S. stocks. We'll also take a look at bonds. We'll take a look at gold and also real estate. That coming up in just a bit. 877-711-5611 is the number. My name is Ron DeLegge. I'm your host and your financial DJ for the next hour. We'll be talking the birds and the bees of successful investing. Want to assassinate some sacred cows on today's show, particularly about the benefits of long-term investing, which I think have been kind of overstated. There's a lot of misleading things being said about long-term investing that I need to clarify for you and for the rest of our listeners. So I'm going to try to do that on today's show. I also want to explain to you the difference, and hopefully you've picked up on this, those of you that have been regular listeners, the difference between an architecturally sound investment portfolio versus scrambled eggs and sloppy joes. Okay? Can we understand the difference between the two? Scrambled eggs and sloppy joes, investment portfolios that have no benchmarks, that have no standards, where chaos rules, that's scrambled eggs and sloppy joes. Whereas an architecturally sound portfolio is perfectly diversified. Its risk characteristics match the risk character of the owner. Cost as well as taxes are minimized to the greatest degree possible. And performance. The performance of the portfolio is what we might say is satisfactory. Satisfactory. And so we're going to do this exercise on today's show. We're going to dissect MD's portfolio. Now, he is 61 years old. He is located in the city of Temecula, California. He self-manages a traditional IRA as well as a Roth IRA. Now, the bulk of his money is in the traditional IRA. He's got a total of $496,000. The Roth IRA only has about $8,000. So the rest is in the traditional IRA. Now, I asked him, as I do all people that request a portfolio report card, to tell me a little bit about themselves, because I want to understand the mindset. I want to understand the psychology of the person behind the money. And so MD explained himself. I thought it was a little bit of a contradiction. I asked him, you know, describe your investing style, your strategy. And he told me he's passive aggressive. He doesn't trade very often. He's a buy and hold investor, and he does not rebalance his portfolio. And he also told me that he chose Vanguard because he likes their low fees and he likes their website. So that's a little bit about him. As I mentioned, he's 61 years old. And I also asked him, what's his main investment goal? What worries him? What are his concerns? He told me growth is his main goal, and to use that growth as an income source in the next few years. He is worried about the economic climate. And in 2008, while everyone else was panicking, well, he was kind of worried about that when the market crashed, but he said that he never bailed. And so that he attributes to his success. Now, I should also mention that he is semi-retired. He's 61. He's semi-retired. He works as a director of a director at a transportation company. So that's a little bit of a background about MD. And we're going to drill down to some of his investment holdings. We'll take a look at each one of them. He owns 8 different mutual funds from Vanguard. And we're going to drill down and tell you what those funds are. And look at the cost of the portfolio, diversification, risk, tax efficiency, and performance. And he's going to get a final report card of passing or flunking on today's show. If you'd like to join us to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, 877-711-5611 is the number. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show. go nowhere. When you hear the word retirement, what does that conjure up in your mind? Does it conjure up fun, relaxation, excitement? Well, this was the question posed to 1,100 people in an informal online survey by Financial Engines. They asked these people what image is conjured up in their mind when they hear the word retirement. And the answer of the vast majority was that they feel old. The word old was the one that conjured up in their mind. So my question to you, is that the way you feel when you hear the word retirement? Do you feel old? Now, the remainder of the top 10 answers included, this is when they hear the word retirement, excitement, happiness, a long time away, scared, nervous, anxious, worried. These are some of the other top 10 feelings that are conjured up when people hear the word retirement. Well, let's take a look at our portfolio report card. Let's get into the details. This is for MD in Temecula, California. He asked me to analyze and grade his investment portfolio. And let me just start out by saying and posing this question to you, our audience, because I think it's relevant. If your investment portfolio was a movie, what genre would it be? Would it be drama? Would it be comedy? Would it be adventure? Or would it be mystery or horror? In reality, all investment portfolios are comparable to a movie, where each person elects their own personal genre and classification. Now, some of you have X-rated investment portfolios. We won't talk about that right now. We won't get into all the explicit details about what that means. But MD's portfolio, and he's 61 years old and he self-manages his own money, he's got a retirement account, a traditional IRA, and a Roth IRA. He owns 7 mutual funds. They are Vanguard funds. And let's take a look at the first category, which is cost. Now, reducing investment cost should be every prudent investor's priority. And of course, investment portfolios with excessive trading activity or elevated fund expenses are major red flags. But so are portfolios with hidden fees, opaque fees that can't be easily figured out or deduced. You know, things like B52 fees, loads, advisory fees that don't commiserate with the actual advisory work being done. These are all problems when it comes to the cost of a portfolio. And of course, the prudent investors' goal should be to minimize investment costs to the greatest degree possible, because the less that you pay, the more that you keep. Now, all 7 mutual funds that MD owns are from Vanguard and charge expenses between 10 basis points or 0.10%. all the way up to 0.48% or 48 basis points. Now, the fund fees can be cut even further with Vanguard ETF's share class, but overall, I think his expenses are pretty well contained. So, pretty good job in terms of minimizing cost for MD. Now, what about diversification? Let me just be very clear. Investment portfolios that lack exposure to all the major asset classes, including stocks, bonds, commodities, real estate, and cash, are not truly diversified. Let me repeat that. It's pretty important. Investment portfolios that lack exposure to all the major asset classes are not truly diversified. Do not delude yourself. Now, MD's self-managed retirement account has exposure to U.S. stocks. He's got exposure to U.S. bonds. Now, I'll give you some of these ticker symbols, by the way. VHCOX, that's a U.S. large cap growth. He owns ticker symbol VDIGX, that's U.S. large cap dividends. And VEIPX, that's U.S. large cap value. So that's his exposure to U.S. stocks there. He does own some bonds, ticker symbol VBLTX. He owns long-term bonds. And then he also has some exposure to U.S. real estate, or also known as REITs, ticker symbol VGSLX. And then one last area, which is not really an asset class, but more along the lines of a industry sector play, that's ticker symbol VGHCX. That's the U.S. Or Vanguard Healthcare Mutual Fund. That's ticker symbol VGHCX. So these are the bulk of his holdings. The most of his money is parked in VGHAX. That's the Vanguard Healthcare Admiral Shares Mutual Fund. That's where the bulk of his money is. But in terms of diversification, you know, just looking at MD's portfolio, he misses some major asset classes. He has no exposure to international stocks. He has no exposure to emerging market stocks. He has exposure to U.S. real estate, which is good, but he misses international real estate. So I think he's got to shore his portfolio up in that regard. And he also misses exposure to two other major asset classes, commodities and cash. Additionally, and I think this is just as important, is MD's portfolio, his retirement plan, has multiple overlapping positions in U.S. large cap stocks. And it, what it does is it creates a situation that I call portfolio clutter. Portfolio clutter, which is absolutely, totally avoidable and unnecessary. And I don't think it really helps him at all to be having multiple overlapping positions in large cap stocks as he does. So I think he's in diversification is clearly a weak spot of MD's portfolio architecture. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. I'm doing a portfolio report card on today's program for MD in Temecula, California. We're dissecting his traditional IRA and his Roth IRA. We're evaluating it in five key areas: cost, diversification, risk, tax efficiency, and performance. And then at the end of today's show, he's going to get a final report card of A, B, C, D, or F. Now, over the past several months, I've analyzed and graded around $30 million worth of investment portfolios. The response from our audience has been tremendous. So keep those portfolios coming, and I will analyze and grade them. This is something that we do to help you understand the difference between architecturally sound investment portfolios versus scrambled eggs and sloppy joes. 877-711-5611 is the number if you'd like to join us and jump in and talk about anything on your mind. You can also tweet the program. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. If you ever miss our regular weekly radio broadcast for whatever reason, you can pick up our podcast. It's available at iTunes. Just search under the Index Investing Show. You can also pick us up on Stitcher. Now, taking a look at some of the key market areas around the globe, we talk about international stocks and emerging market stocks. Now, two ETFs that follow these areas, international developed market stocks, from places like Japan and the United Kingdom and Australia and Canada, VEA down almost 7%. So we're seeing clear weakness in international markets. Same goes for emerging market stocks. Ticker symbol VWO, which tracks developing countries, countries that are not yet established in terms of the capital markets, but are up and comers, you know, places like China and Brazil and Thailand. VWO tracks countries like this, down around 4% on the year. And look at this area. This we talked about earlier, industry sectors. How about U.S. REITs, known as Real Estate Investment Trust, VNQ, ahead by 28% Since the beginning of the year, that's been a great trade and a great area to be invested. This is the Index Investing Show. I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Lon DeLegge.
Are you frustrated with how your investments never seem to grow? Do you feel like your investment plan might be off track? Are you concerned about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you're not alone. Get the help you need with Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card. Get a snapshot of your current investments and find out if your financial plan is really on track. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Millions of people are investing blindly in the stock market. Don't be one of them. Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card tells you everything you need to know about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 401k plan, or brokerage account. It doesn't matter what you have. Ron's free portfolio report card will tell you everything you need to know. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Don't invest without it.
That's hipster music. That's hipster music you're listening to. Bow ties and vests and top hats. I don't know about the skinny jeans. 877-711-5611. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. You can follow me. You can tweet me. You can stalk me. Be my guest. If you want to get a portfolio report card where I analyze and grade your portfolio and tell you all the explicit details of things that matter and focus on what's going on with your money, go to portfolioreportcard.com and get in touch with me, and I will give you the unadulterated view, the unadulterated picture of what's really going on with your investments. I will not tell you things that tickle your ears. But the point here is not to criticize you. It's not to make you feel dumb. It's not to make you feel inadequate, but rather to help you understand the strengths and the weaknesses of your portfolio. That's what the portfolio report card is all about. It's a one-page report that you get, and of course, it's a final assessment or grade about the architectural soundness of your investment portfolio. Go to portfolioreportcard.com. And if you're just joining us, we're doing a portfolio report card for MD in Temecula, California. He's 61 years old. He's got a pretty nice size portfolio, $496,000. He is he's semi-retired. He works as a director at a transportation company. He's been a good saver. And so far, we looked at cost. He did a pretty good job there. He's got 7 mutual funds, all from Vanguard. He doesn't have a lot of trading activity. And the fund expenses that of these funds that he owns are contained. So he did a pretty good job in terms of minimizing the cost of the portfolio. In terms of diversification, he definitely needs to do some work. He misses some major, major asset classes. Has no exposure to international stocks. Has no exposure to emerging market stocks. He also misses commodities, cash, and global real estate. Next up is risk. Now, when we talk about risk, what we're really discussing here is whether the orientation of the portfolio, whether the asset mix harmonizes with the risk character of the person. Now, I can do risk questionnaires all day long. I can ask you all types of questions about how you would react if the market crashed 20% or more, and what you would do, and try to study your psychology and try to understand you and put you underneath a microscope and look at you from all different angles. Now, I could do that, but really the fastest way for me to understand what type of person I'm dealing with in terms of an investor is to look at their current portfolio, because it's how you're currently investing, not how you would like to invest or how you will invest or how you wish you could invest. It's how you currently invest that tells me the most about you. Now, if your current risk portfolio, the risk of it, does not harmonize with your risk character and the things that you tell me about yourself, well, then that's a problem. That's a discrepancy that has to be fixed. Now, in terms of risk, MD told me that he's an aggressive investor. He's 61 years old. So the question is, does this portfolio that he has, this retirement plan, this $496,000 match up with his current risk character? Well, he's got 91% exposure to stocks and 9% exposure to bonds. This is a hyper-aggressive asset mix, even for a 61-year-old person that calls himself aggressive. This is not an aggressive asset mix. When you tell me you're 61 years old and you have 91% exposure to stocks, that's hyper-aggressive. That's not aggressive. It's beyond aggressive. Now, I calculated a 20% to 40% stock market decline or correction exposes MD's portfolio to potential losses between $90,000 to $180,000. That would be a pretty difficult pill to swallow. And it's the type of risk that this portfolio has that's just completely unacceptable. So in terms of risk, MD's portfolio, from what I can see, flunks. But let's take a look at the other final two areas, and we'll give them a final report card of A, B, C, D, or F. Because remember, we look at all five areas together in unison. We don't just look at one thing from a myopic perspective. Now, in terms of tax efficiency, we want to see investment portfolios that minimize the negative impact of taxes. Now, this is a Roth IRA and a traditional IRA. The money, the growth inside the portfolio happens tax deferred. Of course, the only time he's taxed is when he, on the traditional IRA, is when he withdraws money. The Roth IRA, of course, he's already paid his taxes. That money also grows tax deferred. But the thing here is he's done a good job, I think, in terms of tax efficiency, because he's not done anything to damage the portfolio by taking out premature distributions or, you know, outstanding retirement loans or anything like that. So in terms of tax efficiency, I see absolutely no problems for MD's portfolio. So he does very well there. The last thing we're going to look at for MD's portfolio is performance. So what is the standard in terms of determining whether a person's portfolio does well or does poorly in terms of performance? Well, listen to me very closely. The correct standard of performance is not distorted peer groups or comparisons to peer groups as they do in the mutual fund industry. That's a perverted standard that we do not use. The correct standard is how a person's portfolio performs relative to a blended mix of passive index ETFs that correspond to the person's asset allocation. That is the correct standard of performance. It's not, oh, I feel good today, or oh, I'm up, or oh, my financial advisor told me I'm doing good. Those are not the correct standards of performance. Now, MD's one-year performance gain, according to my calculations, was a 36% gain, which is outstanding because our blended benchmark, which matches his asset allocation, was up only 15%. So he outperformed by a pretty large margin, and that's, from a performance perspective, very good. Now, what was the main reason? Because we can't be superficial here. We've got to dig beneath the, look beneath the hood. What was the main reason for MD's sizzling returns? Well, the answer is he concentrated almost 40% of his portfolio in healthcare stocks. He's got 40% of this $496,000 portfolio in the Vanguard Healthcare Admiral Shares, ticker symbol VGHAX, which has been a great performing industry sector. The S&P healthcare ETF ticker symbol XLV, which owned similar stocks, ahead by 25% since the beginning of the year, easily outperforming the broader S&P 500. So he's, you know, you look at that sizzling outperformance, and it's happened for a reason. He's concentrated his portfolio in a very good performing sector. So from a tactical perspective, he's done a pretty good job in terms of making the right trade. What I want to talk about, though, is his final report card grade. That's going to be coming up. And I also want to talk about some of the deficiencies of this portfolio and what he can do to shore it up. I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show. Also coming up, we're going to assassinate some sacred cows. The long-term investing fallacy. Yes, there are fallacies. I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Lon DeLegge.
Retirement portfolio on the operating table. We've just dissected it. We've cut it open. We've looked at cost. We've looked at diversification. We looked at risk. We looked at tax efficiency. And we just looked at performance. I mean, he gained 36% over the past year compared to a 15% gain for our blended benchmark. He just blew away our blended benchmark. MD's final portfolio report card is a B. Now, his portfolio graded well on minimizing cost. I mean, he's got all of his mutual fund holdings have expenses under 0.5%. That's great. In terms of tax efficiency, no problems in that department. And his performance beat our blended benchmark. So in those three categories, he did very well. A B, by the way, is a very good overall grade, but it's not perfect. And MD's portfolio, unfortunately, does have some weaknesses. He flunked on diversification. He flunked on risk. Now, his asset mix is 91% exposure to stocks. He's 61 years old. He says he's aggressive. This is a hyper-aggressive mix for somebody in that age range, as well as risk characteristic, you know, calling themselves aggressive. I mean, he's shot well above where he should be in terms of aggressiveness. Now, I think that's clearly a problem. Also, the fact is, when a market correction does arrive, and it will, a 20% to 40% correction exposes him to roughly $100,000 to almost $180,000 of potential losses. And that to me, is going to be a problem for a portfolio with 90% exposure to stocks. In terms of diversification, here, too, his portfolio comes up short. He completely missed exposure to key asset classes like international and emerging market stocks, global real estate, commodities, and cash. So these are some of the shortcomings of MD's portfolio. Now, he's been the beneficiary of a good performing stock market. Now, let's just hope that the performance that he got will become a sustainable trend. And I think if he shores up the weaknesses of his portfolio, I think he can do that. And hopefully, the next time he requests a portfolio report card, he can get an A. Because that's what I like to see. I like to see A's. And of course, that's my challenge to all of you. If you submit a portfolio report card request where I analyze and grade your portfolio and you get an A, I pay you $100. That simple. So go to portfolioreportcard.com. and get in touch with me. Now, I want to slay some sacred cows, particularly about the long-term investing fallacy. Now, the financial services industry and many gurus, financial gurus, like to preach the benefits of compounding returns and long-term investing. Now, I think their intentions are probably good, but I also happen to think that this is sometimes done to obscure unsatisfactory portfolio performance. You know, if you've got a portfolio with lousy performance, just give it a few more years to get better. That's how most investment customers have been brainwashed to think. You know, you're not a long-term investor. You know, forget about the short-term performance. Focus on the long-term. Likewise, it's common for industry types to illustrate unrealistic long-term time horizons of like 100 or 200 years of equity returns. This is the Jeremy Siegel syndrome, you know, where they like to pull out their charts going back 100 to 200 years. Oh, look at what equity returns have done over the past 200 years. Now, this is something that's completely irrelevant to you or to me or to other people, because clearly we don't have lifespans that reach 100 or 200 years. We have much shorter time horizons. And by the way, our lifespans are completely unpredictable. So these are irrelevant long-term horizons that they're pointing out. Another common habit is to categorize all investors, regardless of their age, regardless of their risk tolerance, regardless of their financial needs, into one big group and to lecture them to be long-term investors, as if that's the solution to what ails their money. This type of negligent advice is tantamount to financial malpractice. The simple fact is people above age 50, 60, and 70 do not have the same investment time horizon of people that are 20, 30, and 40 years old. Most people at or near retirement do in fact have a much shorter investment time horizon and a higher need for investment income and a higher need for portfolio liquidity. Moreover, older people have less time to recover from a significant market decline compared to younger people. So my point is that long-term investing, and this is a key point, and this is why I talk about the long-term investing fallacy. Long-term investing is not the panacea for a misaligned investment portfolio. And telling a person whose portfolio is misaligned and poorly constructed and getting clobbered to be a long-term investor and not to panic is brave advice, but not necessarily the right advice. Staying the course won't fix portfolios that are ignorant about cost or taxes or risk or diversification. Staying the course will not fix portfolios that are ignorant about cost, taxes, risk, and diversification. Nor will long-term investing fix a person's head that is buried in the sand. So these are some of the things, these are some of the sacred cows that I wanted to assassinate on today's show. The long-term investing fallacy. 877-711-5611 is the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. If you'd like to join us to talk about your own investment portfolio, a specific stock, mutual fund, ETF, what have you, I'm game. If you're not able to get in, you can tweet me live at any time, 24/7, at Index Show. Send me your questions, your comments, your complaints. I'll be happy to look at that. Now, I want to just, before we end today's show, mention something about investment performance. And this is geared for the look at me, I'm outperforming crowd. Investment portfolios that use leverage to juice performance returns. Investment portfolios that concentrate their holdings to juice performance returns may look good at the surface, but if we look beneath the surface, they may not be that well constructed or well built. Now, why do I say that? Investment portfolios that survive these types of risks with temporary outperformance are comparable to the lucky stunt person who jumps off a bridge and survives. Now, here's my point. Just because they survived a deadly jump once doesn't make jumping off bridges a prudent exercise, nor does previous success of jumping off bridges guarantee future victories, let alone survival. Now, this underscores a crucial fact when it comes to performance and your portfolio. Market outperformance does not necessarily mean a portfolio is well designed or appropriately suited to you, the owner. Major structural flaws like extreme risk or excessive cost can sometimes be disguised during a favorable market climate. Now, let me just give you an example of what I mean. During the late 1990s, investment portfolios that were overweighted in technology stocks were temporarily rewarded just before getting slaughtered. Do not make the rookie mistake of attributing strong performance to a healthy and well-constructed investment portfolio. Because the fact is, market outperformance doesn't necessarily mean that your portfolio is well-designed or appropriately suited to you. And that is something that that was very important that I want to share with you, something that I just had to get off my chest. And hopefully it registers with you. Hopefully it resonates with you so that you will look beyond just the surface. Well, that does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com to get your free portfolio report card. And until we meet again, may the market indexes be with you.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.